Riel Schreier is 10 years old, the same age his father Claude was when he started hunting. Riel is fascinated by his dad's stories and can't help wondering what the sport is all about. This is the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Here's Riel's hunting stories, narrated by Riel and Claude Schreier and produced by Neil Sandel with the CBC's Outfront.
I'm 10 years old. I have never been hunting before, but my dad hunted for multiple years. I like animals because I like the way they observe and they see life. But I'm curious of how it feels to take a life that was living its good life. My dad was, from the age of 10 to 17, a hunter. Am I correct?
That's right.
What, did you like hunting?
All of my brothers and my father, we loved hunting, and we'd go out around North Bay for hunting for all kinds of animals and birds.
Are there reasons?
Well, it was part of our culture. It's the way we were brought up. We enjoyed going outdoors, and we always ate the meat that we hunted.
What animals would you hunt?
Well, partridges and ducks and rabbits and sometimes deer.
Do you ever have any sad hunting stories when you sometimes wanted to stop but you didn't?
Well, there are lots of stories we had hunting, and some of them were sad, some of them were happy, but I have lots of stories.
Could you give us an example?
Well, there's one in particular that I remember, and I was about 15 years old, and I was hunting by myself with our dog, and I came across a rabbit, and I shot at the rabbit, and I thought I was going to kill the rabbit, but in fact, I shot the rabbit in its legs, and it was quite terrible because the rabbit started screaming, and you know what kind of sound it made? Something like that. Something like the sound of a baby, because the animal was hurt. And I felt really bad because I didn't want to hurt it. I wanted to kill it and eat its meat. But the animal got away, and I tried to run after it and to try to kill it, but I wasn't able to. So I made that animal suffer, and it made me feel really bad. So I decided at that time that I was going to stop hunting.
This was at the age of 15?
15 or 16, yeah.
So, what was your first... Well, do you remember your first hunting story? Like, your first time
The first time
hunting?
I went hunting?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I was maybe 13, because when I was a boy, you had to get and still today, you have to get a license to go hunting, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just take a gun and go hunting. You have to do a training course, and you have to get a license. So, I used to accompany my father, and once in a while, I'd ask him if I could hold the gun. He says, well, you can hold the gun, but you can't fire it. And then I got a little bit older, and he said, well, you can hold the gun, and maybe I'll let you fire it, but I'm going to be with you. And eventually I was able to hunt by myself. But one of those times I went hunting, one of the first times I went hunting by myself when I got my license, I saw a partridge up in a tree, and I was so excited, and I was a little nervous, and I decided to point my gun at that partridge and see if I can get it. That would have been my first partridge. Mm-hmm. So I aimed, and I shot right at the right place, and ba-dang! Nothing happened. The partridge just stood there, and I thought I had aimed right, and so I took the bullet out, and I put another one in, and I did exactly the same thing. This time, I'm going to get it right. Bang! Partridge is still there. This happened time and time again, until five times. My brothers were so excited back home, they were thinking, oh, Claude must be shooting lots and lots of birds. He's shooting so many shots, you know. But in fact, do you know what I did wrong?
Did you not aim right? Just also.
That's right. I didn't aim right. I was aiming with the wrong eye. I'd forgotten the lessons I'd learned at the training course, and eventually that bird just flew away, and I never touched it because I was aiming with the wrong eye. So I went home and I said, "Guys, I shot, but I couldn't get the bird." And then they said, "Well, show me what you were doing." And then I showed them how I was aiming, and they said, "Silly Claude, you're aiming with the wrong eye." So that was a good lesson.
But did you get any good victories in your hunting?
Oh, yes. We were successful many times. And one of the funnest parts was to be outside in the nature. And sometimes we decided not even to shoot because sometimes, you know, we just decided that we didn't want to kill the animal. But sometimes we did. And when we did, we'd bring them home and we'd always eat them. So there's lots of other hunting stories. There are lots of hunting stories.
Hunting isn't an easy sport. You can't just go out and shoot things, as I said before. You gotta clean your gun. And even in cleaning your gun, there is security. Here's an example.
This is a story when we were at a cottage, and we were cleaning our guns. And my father, remember, he told us to always treat every gun as if it was a loaded gun. And that's something you learn also in training school, and something he told us. Always treat any gun, never point a gun, even if you know it's unloaded, because that's just the good practice. Mm-hmm. So we're cleaning our guns, and we had a special kind of gun called a Winchester. Mm-hmm. And it was like you see in the movies sometimes, it had a lever at the bottom to bring the bullets up to be fired. And I think it was me or my brother, I can't remember who, but somebody was cleaning the gun, and then all of a sudden they heard a funny sound. Cling, cling. And they were about to just play with the gun and pretend, you know, they were shooting somebody. Yeah. But they thought, they remembered, oh, my father said, no, always treat a gun as if it was a loaded gun. And they didn't. And all of a sudden they noticed that there was a bullet in the gun. That little sound they had earlier was a bullet entering. It had been stuck in the magazine. And that's where you keep the bullets. And all of a sudden, my brother had a loaded gun. If he had played, you know, ha ha ha, click, he would have killed somebody. Yeah. So that, the moral of that story is treat every gun as if it was a loaded gun and don't play with guns.
Because they're very dangerous. Don't play with matches.
So, Riel, what kind of hunting can you do in the wintertime?
Well, you can set traps for hares.
How do you do that?
I don't know. You just set traps. Never actually learned how to set a trap.
Okay, well, let me show you, okay? Here we go. The first thing we have to do is find rabbit or hare trail so that we can set the snare.
We saw a deer trail.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to hunt deers now, but we're going to try to see if we can find some snare paths, and they tend to go over the same path. Now there's a lot of snow today, so let's go see in the forest here what we can find. Now, what do they look like?
Well, they're sort of long and skinny.
Yeah.
And well, that's their back paws, and then their front paws, sort of like sort of small and.
So it's sort of like a cat in the front, and
yeah,
more longer in the back. Hey. Eh?
Yeah.
So let's see if we can find that. These littler ones here. See, the rabbit's not very heavy, so.
Well, it has natural raquettes.
Okay, that's right, natural raquettes. What do you mean by that?
Not like natural
raquettes. Like snowshoes, okay. Do you know what ethics are, Riel?
Not very well.
Well, ethics are like making decisions about what you think is right and behaving properly. So a lot of people hunt because they need to eat. So they really respect the animals. They believe animals have spirits, and then they honor the animal when they shoot them. And they say,
like the Indians.
Yeah, like the Aboriginal people of Canada. Like, I've hunted, and I understand what it's like to hunt, and it's a very good feeling, and you're out in nature, and then you're sort of with the animals, and then you take a life, but you also, you know, you help your life with that life, and you try to behave properly.
Do you think the animal sort of gives up its life, or do you think it unwillingly gives up?
Well, what do you think?
Well, my opinion is that the animal, I'm thinking, could probably get away if they hadn't really tried. But, so it sort of does. A bit like a call. It's like, now it's time for you to give your soul to the humans, sort of.
Where does the soul go?
The soul, well, it depends. If the animals died unrespectfully... If the human was unrespectful and it got shot and just left there, then it would go not a very good place. But if it was eaten, its soul could, like, go out.
We've heard a bunch of stories about hunting. What do you think about hunting now?
Well, that's an interesting question. Now what I think of hunting before what I thought, at least, was going out and shooting an animal and sort of maybe, you know, like having a little sport and a little thrilling. But now I understand that it has a little more than that. It has, like, almost anger, but like... Not revenge, but, like a sadness, like pain, regret, yeah. But what you gotta learn is that killing an animal and eating its meat is part of life. Just don't do it too often. That's really my opinion now.
That was Rael's Hunting Stories by Rael and Claude Schreier and produced by Neil Sendell with the CBC's Out Front. To hear more pieces like this one, visit the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. You can send your thoughts and feedback to podcast@tnc.org. I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.